I'm going to read from 3 John and verse 1. 3 John, verse 1. The Elder. To the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that's in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we may become fellow workers for the truth. Last week I preached on the subsequent section about a church leader called Diotrephes who offered us a warning about what we ought not to become. This evening we have the better role model, a man called Gaius. Gaius is a very common Roman name. We know very little about him apart from the fact he's almost certainly Roman. He probably lives in the area of Asia Minor, where John perhaps had some influence, and he's writing to Gaius, who says, whom I love in truth. He loves him in the truth as a fellow believer, but he's really emphasizing here that the love that John bears for Gaius is a genuine love. It's not just a formality inserted into the beginning of a letter, but rather it is true and genuine, sincere and authentic. He again calls him beloved in verse 2. I pray that you may prosper in all things. There are many people to whom we would not wish to say that. They plan evil. They are selfish. They're sometimes up to no good. And we thank God that they don't prosper in everything they do. That God overrules and says no. But Gaius is such a man that the Apostle John can say, I pray that you prosper in all things. Because Gaius is such a man of God that all things he does for God's glory. He also prays for his health, just as your soul prospers. Evidently, his spiritual life is superb. Here is a man who loves the Lord. Here is a man who lives for the Lord. Here is a man who may one day have to die for the Lord. Spiritually, he is in prosperity. And yet, John says he's also praying for his health. Whether that means Gaius has been suffering ill health, or whether it is a general expression that the beauty and the goodness and the vigour of his soul be matched even by the decaying body which he and we inhabit, I'm not sure. But he's wanting Gaius to be healthy and well. He is clearly a key man in the local church, that if he were to become ill or indisposed, a great many people would suffer. Of course, the contrast is with Diotrephes. If he became ill, perhaps nobody would suffer. In fact, perhaps some good might come of it. But Gaius, on the other hand, is a man upon whom a great many depend. I pray for that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. It is, of course, quite possible to be physically afflicted, to be unwell, and yet to be so close to the Lord that you might not even notice the physical conditions under which you labour. Likewise, there are those whose bodies are vigorous and youthful and full of energy, but inside they are characterised by spiritual death, or perhaps just compromise, which is really the same thing. Verse 3, for I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you. Evidently, John knows Gaius, and yet he receives reports from the brethren, the brothers. I think Johnny is part of a kind of missionary kind of setup in Asia Minor, sending out missionaries to various villages, various towns, various churches to encourage them. And they've been to Gaius and they've gone back to John the Elder, And they've said, that Gaius whom you recommended to us, you're absolutely right. What an encouragement he is. What a blessing he is. He provided food for us. He provided accommodation for us. He's just what you said and more beside. And that, of course, makes John happy. That the brethren have been blessed by Gaius. And that, of course, is an expression of his walking in the truth. Furthermore, they're testifying of the truth that is in him. Evidently, this church, like pretty much all New Testament churches, was being infiltrated. False teachers with dubious and questionable moral standards. They're always trying to come into the church of God. They're always trying to sully its witness. Satan, of course, cannot close down the church of God. Goodness me, he has tried over the centuries and he's always failed. He cannot destroy it because Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What he can do and what he does is try and dilute it, infiltrate it, water it down, tarnish its reputation, damage it. And it was happening here at the time of Gaius and Diotrephes, and it is happening in our days, and it was happening in all the days in between as well. And yet, the reports have come back to John that Gaius is still in the truth, and that he is walking in the truth, despite the fact that these strange and wonderful heresies are being peddled and touted in that vicinity. Gaius is a man who holds on to that which he knows to be true. He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I don't think John is a physical father of Gaius. He may have been, of course, but I doubt it. I think here he's talking of that relationship between an older and venerable Christian and perhaps a relatively young believer. And yet I also think Gaius is a mature believer. It might be that John is a very elderly man and perhaps he was instrumental in Gaius's conversion. And all these years later, he still receives reports that Gaius is walking in the truth and he's continuing to bless the people of God. That's how you make an old Christian man happy. He continues addressing him as beloved in verse 5. You do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren. I think that's referring to hospitality. He has a home and he allows people to come and stay and he feeds them and he provides them with water to wash that they may concentrate on ministry. And he is faithful. He keeps on doing it. And he keeps on doing it for the Lord. He says he does it for the brethren and for strangers. Now, whether the brethren refers to known Christian missionaries and strangers refers to unknown ones, or whether stranger refers to non-believers. In other words, he's kind to everybody. Well, elsewhere he talks about Gentiles, I think, as non-believers. So I think stranger here probably refers to lesser-known believers whom Gaius is not familiar with, but he still opens up his home. It's a good thing to be hospitable to those we love and know and those we rub shoulders with in church. But believers we don't know, there's a bit more risk there, isn't there? Are they real? Are they genuine? Are they really just after the family silver? Are they up to no good? Well, Gaius is so faithful and he clearly holds anybody who takes the name of Christ in high regard. Even strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. We're not told too much about Gaius's doctrine. I think it's referred to in verse 3 when it talks about him testifying of the truth that is in him. But here we have a man who knows the truth and loves the truth, but he also acts the truth. His theology is not just a series of doctrines in his head, which he can regurgitate at a moment's notice, but rather his theology is on show in the way he lives his life. Here is a man who will not see somebody out on the street. Here is somebody who, if there's not enough food to go around, he will offer his own portion to a man he's never met before, but knows that he's a brother in the Lord. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well. Because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. Again, I think that's an expression to unbelievers. These missionaries, these church workers are depending upon Gaius and a small number of faithful people. And Gaius is sending them on their way. What does Gaius do for a living? We don't know. He clearly has some means at his disposal. He has a home where there are spare beds and he has food to spare. It might be he is a businessman or he is a farmer. Presumably, he's not one of the ones who are being sent out. Of course, they would be involved in more exciting work, preaching the gospel to villages and towns who have never before heard it. Whereas Gaius, well, you know what? He washes up and he makes sure there's enough food and he ensures the beds have been changed. All very humdrum, not very glamorous. And yet, the Lord knows what he does. And for doing it in a manner worthy of God, he does well. We therefore, in verse 8, ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. Gaius is not one of the missionaries. He's supporting those who are. And yet John says to him, you are their fellow worker. And some people are called to upfront Christian missionary work or pastoral work, and others are called to support them and back them up and help them. But actually, we are all fellow workers in the truth. We are all fellow workers for the gospel, no matter in what way we are doing that. So, in closing, what do we make of Gaius? He's faithful in his doctrine, even when other people aren't. He's faithful in his kindness, even when other people, such as Diotrephes, are not. He also brings joy to John the elder. And yet how much more joy must he bring to Jesus Christ himself, who, perhaps not very long after this letter was written, received Gaius himself into heaven. And Gaius is no more offering hospitality to any who come knocking at his door. He is now in receipt of hospitality of his own, royal hospitality in the very palaces and halls of heaven. In other words, what we do for the Lord down below is never ignored or forgotten or dismissed up above. So be encouraged. Gaius was operating at a time when church leaders like Diotrephes were not happy with him. They weren't happy with his unfailing commitment to that doctrine. They weren't happy with him receiving these missionaries when Diotrephes has cut them off and is kicking people out of the church. But Gaius is faithful, even when all those around him are not.